I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Yeah, it's the big show.
4 o'clock hour of the Wendy's Big Show. Another chance for you to win $1,000 and put a grand in your hand on the fan. Coming at you this hour. Also, we'll hear from Eric Name. Covers the Milwaukee Bucks, our Milwaukee basketball insider. You follow his great work at Eric_Name, NEHM. He stops by at 4:45. Talk about the Milwaukee Bucks heading out to Paris. But first, guys, right now, I want to tell you about Beauforting Beer, a premium, high-quality beer due to the superior ingredients that it's brewed with. Only 100% natural barley, the freshest hops, and the freshest spring water made in production. Plus, over 250 years, they've been doing this thing family-owned. And that's right. Family-owned brewery since 1764 in the country of Luxembourg. Ever since then, they've been crafting their brews to achieve the pinnacle of drinkability and smoothness. Everything in the lineup, from the crisp Pilsner, the smooth triple, and the perfectly balanced Brune, all designed to give you the full flavor that does not fill you up. Guys, here's a little secret about Beauforting Beer. Unlike other imports, it's not owned by a gigantic corporation. It's not brewed in mass quantities. You don't even need to put a piece of fruit in it to make it taste good. Instead, Beauforting is made in small batches with a personal family touch. Go test it out today and don't just take my word for it. Available right now in a six-pack at Total Wine & More in Greenfield and Brookfield. Raise Wine & Spirits or any Festival Foods location. It's always fresh on tap at Cafe Hollander, the Nomad, and Revere's in Delafield. But Metcalf's in Tosa is the place to get ready for your big game parties with Beauforting. Friday, January 30th, that's next Friday, guys, from 3 to 6 p.m., a special tasting and deals on Beauforting Pilsner for the big game party that is so low I can't even say it on the radio. So Metcalf's in Tosa next Friday, January 30th, 3 to 6 o'clock for a special tasting. My man Rob will be there with just an incredible deal on Beauforting Pilsner that you cannot miss. And I can't even say on the radio. So once you're out there at Metcalf's and Tosa next week, tweet me a picture at Bill Schmidt Radio. I am Beauforting Bill, and I'll come out and drink in the boff with you or on you with Milwaukee's favorite smooth drinking import. 414-799-1250. Live at 1057FMTheFan.com. Wendy's fresh, never frozen inbox if you want to join the conversation as well. Was the 2019 season a fluke? And we just asked Rob Reichel of Forbes.com and Conley Media the same question on the other side of the break, Gary Ellerson. But the turnover differential, they come in waves, and there was a run that the Minnesota Vikings were on, part of the win that they had in New Orleans, where they had gotten like 17 turnovers in six games. I mean, there was a cluster that they can come in waves, and then when the spell dries up and the well is done, you don't seem to get those great bounces. He brought up the Chicago Bears last year at 12-4. A lot of people thought that that was going to be a run that started a historic defensive-led dynasty, and it just did not happen. They ended up going 8-8 this year. So the 14-4 season, I know you've had trouble figuring out what this Packer team was all year long. Did you feel it was a bit fluky?
Well, I mean, let's just say they got all the breaks, and we both know that sometimes you'd rather be lucky than good, and maybe they got a breaks. Sometimes when you're getting this far to the Super Bowl, there's some luck involved into it. Sometimes you get the breaks, and the Packers got their fair share. I mean, there's some years where they did it. So you just take the good with the bad. They won 14 games, and to me, that's not really a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you still got to play who's on your schedule. You got to beat those teams that are on your schedule. We've seen a lot of teams. We saw a lot of crazy things happen this year to teams that weren't very good. I mean, we saw Indianapolis lose some games. I mean, we saw we saw San Francisco lose some weird games this year to teams that they should have beaten. So with that being said, you just got to play who's on your schedule. I don't know about the whole notion when you go back and look at the Green Bay Packers, was this a fluke? I don't think so. I'm not buying into that. But what I do think is that the NFL this year, or maybe in the NFC this year, I think the top four teams were represented. You look at what happened in the NFC East, time and time again, those guys over in the NFC East had an opportunity to win it, and it ended up being Philly. And it felt like nobody won it, right?
Sure.
If you look at the West, I mean, they fought that out. I mean, three teams, you know, three teams fought that out, obviously. But, and I thought they might have been the best division out there. But then you look at the North with the Packers, Vikings, right? Chicago took a step back. We understand why they took a step back, because they had troubles with their quarterback. And I can simply think
and
that,
injuries.
They had a lot of injuries. I simply think that Matt Nagy still hadn't figured out Trubisky on how he wanted to use him as quarterback. So, no, I don't think it was a fluke at all. I think they earned it, and they earned a win. I mean, they go out and they beat Kansas City, right?
Sure, without Patrick Mahomes on Sunday Night Football.
And the following week, didn't Minnesota go out there?
Mm-hmm. Against the same Matt Moore.
And what happened? They lost. So, no, I mean, because it was on the road. I mean, that's still an advantage going on the road to play Kansas. I mean, that's an advantage for Kansas City.
100%.
If being at a home team at their place.
Carlos tweets at 105.7 FM, the fan, was 2019 a fluke? Says, no, people just say it is because Green Bay has set too high of a standard going 13-3, going to the NFC Championship game. I don't know how that is a fluke with a rookie head coach, but since the Packers didn't make the Super Bowl, it was a fluke or failure to some people. They say it's a fluke because of the high standard that they have put into their own ideas. 414-799-1250. Stevie, did you believe that it was somewhat fluky?
No. You know, people wanted to get into this whole Magic Carpet Ride thing during the year. Oh, it's another Magic Carpet Ride, Spark. Is that what it is? And I don't think it was. They were fully healthy all year. You know, that Magic Carpet Ride, what I deemed it the Magic Carpet Ride when they went to the Super Bowl and won, 16 guys hurt out for whatever the reason, and all these guys were able to play. I'm here to tell you, if this team had 15 or 16 guys out, they would have won like two games this year, three games this year.
Sure.
If they would have had that many injuries. This team was not deep enough and not able enough to sustain those many injuries. It just never would have happened. And probably next year, they won't be as deep enough to sustain all those injuries. That's why that was a Magic Carpet Ride year. This year, this was about as good as they were going to play, probably. First-year head coach, first-year offense. We knew it was going to be somewhat of a revolving, kind of an evolution. I don't know what word I'm looking for. Evolving offense, that's it.
Ever-changing.
Right, ever-changing offense throughout the year, from game one of preseason to game one of the regular season to game eight to the last game of the playoffs. You knew the offense was going to consistently change. Then what happens? Devontae Adams gets hurt. So what do they have to do? Got to change the offense a little bit because our star wide receiver isn't here, and we don't have anybody else that we can rely on at this point. So we got to change things a little bit, Aaron. We're going to go this way. And that was the best the offense looked all year, was when he was out and they were able to utilize Aaron Jones and the running backs more than they had previous to Devontae Adams getting hurt. Then Devontae Adams comes back, and we said on this show, okay, it's going to be an adjustment period again because now they're going to have to figure out how to work him into what's been so successful for him, and that was a little bit of a struggle after that. It was a little bit of a struggle for that offense, trying to figure out how to get him back in and then still utilize Aaron Jones, who blew up while he was out, and that was kind of a problem. Now you get a whole offseason to try and figure out how to get them on the same page.
I don't know if the wins at any point really can be too fluky. If anything, the fluke of the matter is just the surprise of having those day one free agents hit in the way that it did.
Huge.
So quickly, because that has always been the dumb spending period of free agency. I always think of the first day of free agency, Sparky, as Albert Haynesworth. Like, that's the one that always comes to my mind of, let's give this dude $100 million, and then 2 years later, he's out of the league. And you've seen it time and time again, where I'd stay up and listen when the clock struck midnight, and you start hearing Tommy Harris goes to Oakland, or wherever it would be, and huge money got thrown around at players that were done. And the Packers were able to find four guys that were key cogs in their not only locker room success, but on-field success, and had two dudes that went double-digit sack guys and were better than the two dudes that you had leaps and bounds. Preston Smith's production was more than Clay Matthews and Nick Perry last year combined.
I'm not sure Gary probably even remembers this, but I remember back when they signed those guys and everything else, and then we got into training camp, and we started talking about expectations for both of those guys. And Gary goes, well, what happens if they both get double digits in sacks? And I just laughed. I was like, if they both get double digits in sacks, they're probably in the Super Bowl if they're both playing at that high a level. I did not think there was any chance that Za'Darius and Preston Smith with both being double digits. I really didn't think that Preston Smith, I thought Za'Darius Smith was the better player of the two.
Sure.
I wasn't as sold on Preston Smith being a double-digit sack guy as I was on Za'Darius Smith. Body type, how he played, I just wasn't there. I'm there now that he can be that type of player. Obviously, he proved it throughout the course of the year. So I guess that was kind of my surprise. The Amos thing? I mean, we heard people in Chicago going, ha, we win. We got the better safety.
Yeah, with Clint
Dix. Good luck to y'all. I mean, everybody you talked to down there all said, you're not going to enjoy that as much as you think. And I enjoyed it just fine. I thought he was more than fine at that position. Billy Turner, you liked. I wasn't a big fan of him. I thought he was a backup rotational type player, and that was about it. He had a moment or two maybe where you're like, okay, maybe that wasn't the best of games. But he was a stabilizing force at right guard and did his job. And really did his job in protecting Aaron Rodgers.
And I still wonder if the production that Billy Turner gave you makes Brian Bulaga somewhat expendable. I don't think it's the right decision to let Bulaga walk at this point, but with the ability that he's had to jump in and out, I've always liked Billy Turner. I've always thought he was really, really good coming out of North Dakota State. But to your point, they filled holes and then complimented them in different spots to show that maybe they were a year ahead, but they're believing that the success can be sustained or at least grown upon with Amos was not brought in to be the designated playmaker. I believe he was brought in to make it easier and help the learning curve of number one pick Darnell Savage.
For sure. I think that was definitely it. A stabilizing force in the back, a guy that was hopefully going to be a Simon Sure, was able to communicate. And what ended up happening was during that stretch of games where this defense was putrid, we come to find out later that half of them didn't know where they were supposed to be or what the other position group was doing.
Right.
Safeties thought linebackers were supposed to be doing something. Our cornerbacks thought linebackers were supposed to be doing something. The defensive linemen thought linebackers were supposed to be here and they weren't supposed to be there. And everybody was confused and screwed up for a stretch, long stretch part of this season, which they then attributed to the newfound success of the defense for simplifying things and getting everybody on the same page again. And I point back to Mike Pettine and the coaching staff for that being their fault for not having the communication thing worked out throughout the entire course of the season. Having said that, I want to go back to what you said about Brian Bulaga as far as what Billy Turner means to that. I don't think one means anything to the other. And the only reason I say that is, and we don't know Goody yet as far as what he cares about.
True.
But I just got to believe that he does care about Aaron Rodgers and David Bakhtiari and all these other guys that have went out publicly and pretty much said, you better pay this guy. I just don't think that he's going to be able to walk into that locker room with a rookie right tackle and be able to face these guys and go, I did the right thing. Because they're going to be hot. They're going to be livid. If Bulaga's not there and they got to play with a rookie right tackle, they are going to be livid at him. And I just don't think he wants to deal with that.
And I understand he's on the wrong side of 30, but he's not 38 years old like Jason Peters and Andrew Whitworth. I mean, like, you're looking at dudes that are really at the tail end of their careers. Brian Bulaga, his better years are behind him. I agree. But are you holding him together with string and tape? Not necessarily. Let's go out to Kendrick quickly on the north side. He's up on the Wendy's Big Show. Kendrick, was it a little fluky in 2019 for the Packers?
I don't think so. I don't think so. We all said, you know, if Aaron Rodgers comes back, you know, healthy, but I still don't think that shoulder is healthy. But those guys, the defense played good, but I'm starting to side with Gary and about A-Rod. He still didn't do the things with LaFleur throwing to the backs, and I told your guy who takes the phone, I feel like Devontae, regardless of how many games Devontae is out, he's the number one guy. The coaching staff has to make Aaron realize that and the other guys realize that. If he throws Devontae that first game 15 passes, that's what it is. You don't hear anything like that from the Saints when Teddy Bridgewater was out, and what's his name? He still caught 150 balls. He wasn't getting that much use when Teddy was in. But he's the number one guy. I think Aaron, hopefully next year, Aaron gets it where he says it's not about the stats, but he still plays like he's looking for the home run ball. But I don't think it was fluky. You don't win 14 games in the NFL and it being fluky and you've been a consistent winner. But to get beat twice like that, something has to change. Something. And don't wait 12 years like Ted Thompson. Something has to change.
Right, because the two losses weren't fluky to San Fran.
They got beat by a good team.
Yeah, and so what has to change? Well, they got to get better players. I don't know if Mike Pettine was the problem. I just think, I mean, well, then those guys talk about adjustments that was made and where it didn't make, but then they also talk about effort that they didn't get. They could have played with better effort, sense of urgency, hair on fire. I mean, there were a lot of things that they talked about that they all, as a whole, didn't do well that needs to be better. Foremost, even if they had done all those things right, I still think San Fran beats them.
Yeah.
They just got better players. And the Packers, from a talent standpoint, has to close the gap. And I think that, to me, is on Brian Gutekunst, who drafts, and then go get the players. And most certainly they have to develop them. But, I mean, when you start talking about draft and development, who's developing Bosa?
Yeah, they did that at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And his dad did that since he was like 10 years old.
Who's developing Bosa in San Fran? He was there. He's a good football player. Nobody developed him.
My man Ryan Fuchs might have helped develop Deebo Samuel. He was that jugs machine over at South Carolina, just firing balls at him.
Right.
150 after practice.
Well, and here's what they did too, though, San Fran, right? They did actually what the Saints did some years back with Kamara and Lattimore. Right? The two rookie of the years. One on offense, one on defense.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And then they were doing 279 seasons back to back. They hit those guys, and next thing you know, boom, they're back in the conversation again. And that's what the Packers they have to hit on their draft picks this year and have immediate production. I don't think they can afford to have another Rashawn Gary.
Sure, where it's a redshirt year.
Or it's a project. Mm. They need players now and no projects.
And your project maybe in the offseason would be to fix that slice that you got in your swing. Gary, you know the place to do that, man.
Man, what you talking about? I was just over there, Billy, yesterday. And I played Pebble Beach course yesterday.
It's a great
pick. You go out and play that course.
You didn't want to go Torrey Pines Tour being there week?
No, I mean, I
thought
about
it. Tiger trying to go for 83?
I thought about it, but, you know, Pebble Beach, the scene
classic,
it was just too pretty. I mean, I got that par 3 over there, and I put it over there in the sand trap, and then I got my old sand wedge out, and I put it on the edge of the green right there, and then I got my old, I like to hit that seven iron, just kind of punch it up there a little bit.
Yeah, just push it through.
Just roll it up and just rolled it right past the hole. And, guys, I'm telling you, it's like you're there. I mean, it's like you're there. My good friends over at Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center, it is the place to keep your swing in mid-season groove all winter long. They have the latest state-of-the-art high-definition golf simulators, including the new true golf simulators of more than 100 leading courses like Pebble Beach, Doral, Pinehurst, and others as you swing away with your friends and enjoying pizza. You know, pizza's absolutely incredible. Guys, they also got a full alcohol bar there, too, while it's winter outside. Don't let your golf swing go into hibernation. Keep it fresh at Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center. For details, check them out on Facebook or online at wisconsinindoorgolfcenter.com.
It's the buzz of the day coming up here next before Eric Name from Paris. There's one thing that Milwaukee Brewers fans will be beyond excited about, and maybe one reason why Packer fans won't be as upset they're not going to Miami. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
It's time for the Beauforting Sports Buzz of the Day, where we discuss today's most buzzworthy sports story, brought to you by Milwaukee's most buzzed about beverage, 100% natural Beauforting beer. Go all natural and drink in the boff.
Buzz of the day on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM in the free radio.com app. There's good news and there's bad news, ladies and gentlemen. The good news is Milwaukee Brewers are celebrating the right way their 50th anniversary season for the Milwaukee Brewers by doing something that people in the state of Wisconsin love more than anything. That is bobbleheads.
Best bobblehead lineup they've ever had.
It's the biggest, that's for sure.
Love it.
This team is going to give away 7 different bobbleheads this season, but it all is centered around the 50th anniversary of Milwaukee Brewers baseball. They will be honoring the past in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s as well, and understandably so. Ryan Braun is going to be the celebratory man in the 2010s. But, Sparky, they started off with Hank Aaron in one of the first home weekends of the season.
April 12th.
But it's not only the bobblehead day at the end of the weekend that's the coolest part for me. The coolest part is that it's like a celebratory weekend of
the 70s.
That decade. And right. Then they'll do it again for the 80s, 90s, yep. 2000s, and 2010s. A little bit weird, though, for me, as being the young guy, I didn't realize that it would be Robin Yount for the 90s instead of the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could have went either way. The problem is Molitor was gone, so...
Right, so it Molitor, works out that you still fit number four in there.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure out how to get them both in there, right? So Molitor's 1980s bobblehead, May 3rd. Then May 10th, 40 home run Christian Yelich. Right? Big fan
of
that.
And that's the first Christian Yelich bobblehead. There you go.
First.
There you go, Milwaukee Brewers. Well, we had There's to go two and, of them.
We had to go get those in production, you know.
Right.
Two of them. Yeah. Ready to go. Two of them.
June 14th, Lorenzo Cain.
Mm-hmm.
Low Cain. Okay.
June 28th.
Celebrating his gold glove, sorry.
Right. Right. June 28th, the talking euchre.
You got to have a talking euchre.
So they've done euchre alarm clocks. Mm-hmm. They've done the euchre talking bottle opener.
Mm-hmm.
Now finally they put it in a bobblehead. Understand it.
Yeah. July 12th, the 1990s Robin Yount bobble.
And that will be the day before the MLB All-Star break kicks in. So the Brewers are at home the weekend before the All-Star break.
Which is nice. July 26th, 30 stolen base, Christian Yelich.
Okay, now this is the one that I'm going to be a little bit interested in. I don't know that 30 stolen bases is exactly something you give a bobblehead for, but it's 22, so I fully support it.
I'm going to give you my thought process on these bobbles once we're done. August 23rd, the 2000s. Who do you think it is, Gary, for the 2000s? What player represents the 2000s for the Brewers?
Would that be Prince Fielder?
Nope. Think pitcher.
Would that be Ben Sheets?
Yes, sir.
Am right, Ben Sheets.
Would that be Sheeter?
Sheeter, baby. Started an All-Star game. Mm-hmm. 2008 All-Star game at Yankee Stadium, baby.
But I probably would have put Yovani Gallardo, though.
No. That one draws this.
I would have been with Yovani Gallardo.
You would have had to put a tequila bottle with it.
Hey,
see.
You don't want to do that.
That's not nice.
Do that 21 and older, then. You would have had to do.
It's not nice. September 6th, the 2010s, Ryan Braun.
Well, there it is. Tremendous work. Tremendous job.
Bronny.
Now, I'll tell you my thought process.
What's your thought process?
Because this is by far the best bobblehead lineup they've ever had.
The most, I'm pretty sure, as well.
It is by far the best, right? If you don't think you're going to draw that many people, you need to figure out a way to put butts in seats more than normal,
mm-hmm.
and you come out with guaranteed sellout bobbleheads.
Right.
And these are all guaranteed sellout bobbleheads.
But the interesting part of the bobbleheads, though, it is, if you notice, in every single part of it, they spell it out. Clean as day, it is not an all fan giveaway. It is the first 35,000 people get the bobblehead. So
they're going to be sold out
again to initiate. They don't have to tell you 2 days before on TV.
Right.
Please make sure you're in your seats before first pitch. You want the damn bobblehead. You're going to get there a little bit earlier.
Yeah, right. For sure. Interesting that Yelich all done before the trade deadline.
Oh, come on.
It's interesting.
Are you serious? That's what you got out of all of this.
It's just interesting.
That's what you got out of all of
this. The Yelich bobble. There's no bobble in August or September.
That's what you got out of it.
That's interesting.
July 26th would be the 30 stolen base, Chris.
For the deadline.
All right.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, very interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't know why you had to bring that up. I don't know why that's got to be a talking point. Like, we couldn't have just thrown it like...
I'm just saying, it's interesting. I mean, they could have
3rd just to mess with everybody?
Because I'm guessing he didn't get his 30th stolen base on July 26th last year is my guess.
No.
So, yeah. So that's not the reason you put it there. Both bobbles for him before the trade deadline. Yeah, it's smart.
I can't believe I didn't think of that, but I just hate it. I hate that that isn't part of this conversation. Can't we just enjoy the fact that they're going to bring back the True Blue Brew Crew section for the Saturday game celebrating the decades? People are expected to yell and scream, get T-shirts and
signs.
You know
what they should do?
Instead, we're talking about trading the best player.
Right. I'll tell you what they should do, okay? If they're going to do
Don't trade Christian Yelich.
No, but if they're going to do this whole decades thing, right? They should bring back, like, Vaskersian to do, like, a weekend series play-by-play.
Oh, I'd be down with that.
Bring back Sutton to come back and do a weekend.
I would not be down with that.
Oh, I love Darren Sutton. Bring back Darren Sutton to do a weekend. Bring back Vaskersian to do a weekend. You know, whoever it may be that have done play-by-play. 90s,
they could bring back Plesak, and he could be the commentator for them.
Sure, if you want to. Yeah, that's fine.
Did you see your boy Plesak signed up with the Cubs Marquee Network?
Yes.
Oh, what's that?
The Chicago Cubs have their own television network now, Gary.
Oh.
They're not putting anything on NBC Sports Chicago, any free TV. They have their own television network. Genius idea.
Former Milwaukee Bucks front office guy Mike McCarthy running the whole network.
It's genius. It's really? just incredible.
Did you hear what happened at the little Cubs deal they had?
No,
so the Brewers on Deck event is this weekend, right? It's been sold
Sunday,
out.
Yep.
Right, so it's all sold out. So if you don't have a ticket, you're screwed. Mm-hmm. But the Cubs had theirs last weekend, right? It was last weekend, I believe it was. And they got up and to talk about their new cable network, Gary,
mm-hmm.
booed out of the building.
Why did they get booed?
Because it's no longer on over-the-air TV and nothing like that.
And most people have Comcast in Chicago, and Comcast is the one cable provider that has not signed on for the Marquee Network either. Yeah. So they still haven't said that they're going to necessarily be a part of it. And people are just losing their collective minds. It's tremendous stuff. And then the best part is Tom Ricketts, who is also taking a beating because he decided to tell everybody that he didn't have enough money to sign new players.
Former Brewers minority owner.
Of course.
He walks up and he's like, "What's wrong? What do you guys not like about the Marquee Network?" And people are just booing him up. Yep. And he goes, no. Next year, you guys are going to love the Marquee Network. I'm telling you, you're
going to
love the Marquee Network.
Yep, it hurt his feelings.
It was awesome. I enjoyed it quite a bit. So now, from a good thing to a bad thing, fans, maybe it's a good thing that the Packers aren't going to the Super Bowl. This is from CNN. Fans heading to Miami Gardens Hard Rock Stadium for the Super Bowl will have to leave their grills and tents and elaborate tailgating rigs at home.
Why?
Brian McCarthy of the NFL, a spokesperson, said, "This is nothing new. It has always been the same for previous Super Bowls. The NFL has a no tailgating policy in the parking lots it's managing around the Florida Stadium for the big game on February 2nd.
You want to know why? Because this is a corporate event. This is not meant for Joe Schmo to come to this game. Mm. This is meant for all the big dollar guys to have
money.
Our corporate parties, our corporate
tents.
Right. They're going to have the corporate tent set outside. And if you're part of that corporation, you can go outside and drink and eat their food. Mm-hmm. But you aren't popping up your back of your hood, back of your trunk or whatever, popping out a Weber grill with a bunch of Millers and getting after
money.
It. That's not happening.
Kansas City fans are great tailgaters. They're getting robbed out of this.
Yes, they are.
McCarthy continues on the WFOR, I don't know where that radio station is, because fans are to park in their allotted spot and may not have a grill or erect tents, but you can still bring food and, quote, frosty beverages when you need to that you can enjoy before the game, McCarthy told the station, and that they'll have parking spots instead of spreading out their big spaces. There are plenty of free things for you to do before the game in the game day plaza and inside the stadium. I like that it's free to get in, but we all know nothing is going to be free at any of those events.
Correct.
Genius work here. Yeah. And then he finishes it off by saying, "The rule does not appear to be deterring fans. Parking spaces for the game, which run at $120
Holy
a spot
crap.
For a standard vehicle and more for limos, vans, and buses, are all sold out," according to the site.
Oh,
so
that's nice.
Sadly, if you bought yourself a $120 spot, you're not going to be able to bring your little Smokey.
And remember, Bill Michaels, 10 to 2, statewide network, all next week, Monday through Friday, star-studded guest lineup. I've already heard some of the names being floated around. It is going to be a huge show next week from 10 until 2, statewide. And Gary Ellerson will be down there. Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler will be down there, hoping to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer as well. We'll find that out a week from Saturday if he gets the knock on his door. It'll be a fun week leading up to the Super Bowl next week here on the Fan.
We're also going to have a bunch of fun tonight. Myself and Bart Winkler joining Bill Michaels for the Bud Light Huddle. That starts at 6 at
Get
the New
Bart
Berlin Ale House. He's going to need a few.
Just after the show, not during the show, please.
Is that frowned upon?
Yes. Especially not Bart. Drinking during the show, please.
It is statewide. Maybe.
After the show.
I'll crack one. It'll be okay. Guys, it's your chance at $1,000 here on The Fan. This hour's cash keyword is time. T-I-M-E. Time. Text time to 72881. Message and data rates do apply. Next chance tomorrow at 8 a.m. here on The Fan to put a grand
in your hand.
Gary Ellerson, you can't put a grand in your hand, but you could do something with that money and call up Pella Windows and Doors.
No, you really can, guys. And we talked about the great event that they had here last week and up in Green Bay at for Pella Windows and Doors. And that's what I like about it. You talk about team, right? You talk about team effort and what you got to get to be a team, what you got to put into it. Well, that's what my good friends over at Pella Windows and Doors. They are a great team, and they have a great team leader. And I would say Gina Della from Pella Windows and Doors. And listen, guys, they all work together. They all work together. Everybody knows what they're doing. The right hand knows what the left hand is doing, which makes for a great team, a lot like the Green Bay Packers. And not, they're not just going to get to the NFC Championship game, but Pella Windows and Doors is going to get you all the way to the Super Bowl each and every time they come out to visit your house. And, guys, and here's what they can do for you. They measure, manufacture, install, service, backing them with a limited lifetime warranty, and even offer better than bank financing. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin simplifies your life. One source for everything. We talk about styles, folks. 9 styles of Pella windows that fit your particular taste. Available in vinyl, fiberglass, or luxurious wood, guys. And listen, we talk about the roll screen. Well, they have a roll screen option that practically disappears from view. Winner of the 2019 Most Innovative Window Award. Guys, and it just doesn't stop there. They're very creative. They have the new Experience Center, the Pella Experience Center, out in Brookfield off of Blue Mound Road, where you can go touch and see and feel the windows that you are buying. Guys, go check them out today. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Eric Name joins us next. Talk about the Bucks' trip to Paris on the 105.7 FM The Fan's Wendy's Big Show.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
If you want to join the conversation, it's the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer alongside. So is Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back, joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Follow his coverage of your Milwaukee Bucks at Eric_Name, N-E-H-M, is how you follow him along. He's our Milwaukee basketball insider, and he's on 105.7 FM, The Fan right now. Eric, appreciate the time, man, with the Milwaukee Bucks in Paris. A little bit of a slight vacation for a beat writer as you guys get a few days to maybe lay low a little bit here?
How dare you suggest I'm on vacation? How dare you? No, there's always work to do. I got some projects in the works. There should be some fun stuff. No, I'm just kidding. It is nice to not have to worry about how I'm getting to a game tonight or last night or tomorrow. Like, so I'm enjoying it. I'm very much enjoying it.
Good. Well, and Eric, it's tough because when I get to talk to Matt after the games on the post-game show, I know sometimes you guys are driving back to a hotel and figuring out if there's a shoot-around coming up the next day. The Bucks have had such a hectic schedule with this planned trip to Paris. How much do you think it's going to affect not only, you know, the next couple of weeks as the lead-up and the backdrop, there's a lot of games stacked up together, but maybe just the freshness of the team later on in the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to watch because we were marked a couple times, me and Matt, just like every time this year, it's essentially games every other day, and then if you throw a back-to-back in there, there was a bunch of 3 games and 4-day stretches, mm-hmm. and this Bucks team had to deal with a schedule that's a little bit tighter than most teams. You know, I look around the league at some of my colleagues at The Athletic talking about like, oh, yeah, you know, they had 2 days off here in a row to kind of catch up with some things or install something new or have a practice day. And, you know, when you look back at the schedule, the Bucks have had like 3 of those type of situations. I think maybe 4 if you add in one of the times that they had a West Coast road trip. So they haven't had a lot of those. This schedule has been, you know, pretty much game, day off, game, day off, game, day off. Like, it has just kept going. And, you know, I think for them that's been nice because they're winning so much that it is kind of nice to stay in a routine and just kind of keep that going and keep a rhythm going. So this is kind of weird where they have a bunch of days off in front of this game, a bunch of days off after this game, and then a little bit slower on the schedule when they first get back. To end the season, like it's going to be pretty much every other day because they had to somehow figure out how you get 3 days off before this game and then 3 days off after this game. So it is made for a weird schedule this season, but we'll see how the Bucks react to it and see what they do when they get back. I think there probably is some concern within the organization that just such a weird stretch in the middle of your season, could have an adverse effect. Obviously, not much has affected this team this year, but it wouldn't shock me if they are a little bit. Still not. It wouldn't be jet lag a week after they return, but just a little bit out of sorts as they kind of get into a different rhythm.
Hey, talk a little bit about, there was this article came out somewhere, and then it was really surrounding around Zion, but they're saying that, you know, there's really no real, you know, players right now in the NBA, and Zion is kind of, you know, on the scene, so it's happening in the NBA. And then it kind of talking about the Milwaukee Bucks is that no one thinks the Milwaukee Bucks are for real, and that it's kind of a boring season. What's your thoughts on national perception of the Milwaukee Bucks? We did a topic here of the Milwaukee Bucks. What did I talk about, Billy?
Are the Bucks being disrespected nationally?
So I think the big thing is Mike Budenholzer. I don't think it's necessarily Giannis. I think we've seen a lot of superstars kind of go through the build-up to winning their first championship. I think a lot of people got really excited about Bud's teams in Atlanta. They really liked that, hey, you know, this is the new Spurs. This is the team basketball still being important and still mattering. And, you know, you don't need all these superstars. You don't have to bring everyone together. And then they kept losing to LeBron. And there was a bunch of people that, you know, I just think really were out here kind of talking about how good it was to see a team still win like that. And then they just kept getting beat by LeBron. And everyone kind of said, okay, well, I guess you need superstars. Like, that's going to have to be how you win championships now. And that was obviously one superstar when LeBron was in Cleveland beating the Hawks, and now it's gone to two, and then the Warriors had three, maybe even four. Consider, I guess, figuring out how you know, kind of grade Draymond Green. And I think there's still that sting from that first time around with Bud that now when they see a Bud team, it's just, you know, Bud doesn't make adjustments, and Bud isn't a good enough coach, and Bud coaches for the regular season, not the postseason. And, you know, I've been talking with a couple people, and part of me wonders if the best thing possible for the league would be Lakers-Bucks in the finals, Bucks win the finals, and then we can all kind of reconsider what we think about the NBA regular season.
Right.
We can reconsider and say, you know what, the regular season does actually matter. That this team perfected how they played during the regular season, went out and dominated the regular season, and then went out and dominated the postseason. Mm-hmm. And conversely, I think the worst thing that could happen for the league is if the Clippers, who don't care about the regular season in any way, have two mercenaries that came in together, that found their way, traded to L.A., and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard got themselves there, didn't care about the regular season, came through, and then they win a title. That might be the worst thing that could happen for the NBA, because then all of the thoughts people have about the NBA regular season doesn't matter, none of this matters, 82 games, whatever, it's only about the 16 at the end. Like, if that kind of goes in that direction, then all of a sudden all of those things can be even more true. And I just think we're in a really interesting spot with the league where that, to me, is kind of what this all is. Like, the Bucks do not symbolize what most people think matters about the league at this point. What matters about the league is superstars and load management and resting your guys,
right,
making sure that you're ready for the playoffs and all of that. While the Bucks are kind of bucking that trend, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. But if they go ahead and go out and get a championship, that could make everyone rethink the league. So I think we're in a really interesting season, because I think if the Bucks win, they have the potential to change some of those narratives.
I'm shaking my head while you were talking the entire time.
Why?
Because it sounds like a guy that's talking from a small market in Milwaukee about what's good for the league and what's not good for the league. And the reality of the situation probably is, in league offices, the best thing that could happen would be to see the Bucks lose at some point in the Eastern Conference playoffs, have Giannis decide not to stay in Milwaukee, go to New York instead, revitalize that huge... And that's their best-case scenario. Worst-case scenario is small little Milwaukee goes and does win an NBA championship with Giannis, and now they don't have their star in a big market that desperately needs one right now, and instead he's in Milwaukee with two other guys that aren't superstars either in Middleton or Bledsoe. So there's not even two superstars on the team to begin with to market around. To me, I think that's probably, if we're being honest, in league circles, probably what they're hoping for from TV ratings and the exposure that the NBA wants, because not having a good team in Chicago, not having a good team in New York, I mean, it is absolutely killing this league from a TV rating standpoint.
So where I would push back is that I think in some of the league circles that I end up talking in, as you know, you travel around the league, you know, I think there is at least some concern about maybe we've gone in the wrong direction. As a league, we're saying that, you know, all of the superstar stuff, all of the drama about where they're going and what they're doing, that moves on Twitter, right? You don't sell on Twitter. There's no ads for Twitter. You don't get to say, hey, well, we're the most talked about league on Twitter. Great. That doesn't help our ad revenue in any way.
Good point.
And I think kind of what in the league circles I'm kind of in, like, I think there is some thought that, okay, we do obviously want to have great teams in big markets. That's obvious. But there is also, I think, a little bit of concern that, hey, we're in such a hurry to make everyone, you know, tweet out, oh my gosh, this league, there's so much drama, there's always something to talk about, that we've totally devalued the product that we're actually selling. And that is games. That is actually the stuff that you see on TV every single night. That is the billions of dollars that you're signing a national TV deal for. So I think this, like I said, I think this is just a really interesting time in the league, because I do think there is at least some talk among those people, you know, that you're talking about, hey, we got to get a better market in Chicago, we got a better team in New York. There is always going to be that talk, but I do also think they're wondering if they've gone too far in the other direction, that, you know, to capitalize on making this a bigger product on Twitter and, you know, make more people talk about the league, if they've actually devalued their own product.
Talking with Eric Name, Eric_Name, NEHM is where you follow his work on the Milwaukee Bucks, beat writer for the Milwaukee Bucks, or covering the Milwaukee Bucks here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's been difficult, Eric, because really some of the best parts and the best drama of the season come in the offseason. And like you were saying, when you need to know and want to know who's able to be the new star on the move and that kind of reality television, at this point in time, with the type of numbers that they've been waiting for and the type of money that is still on the table for the league, based on where they are financially and I think collective bargaining wise, it might be the healthiest league, but would the TV revenue maybe say a little differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you, I guess you're always going to, I think the NBA is always going to dream about the NFL's numbers, right? Mm-hmm. Like the worst NFL, I mean, the Pro Bowl outrates most NBA games, and we can all agree that the Pro Bowl is a trash product. It sucks. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. No one likes it, and yet everyone watches it.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
You can sell the ad revenue off that because you have millions and millions of people tuning into the Pro Bowl. So that is always, to me, what the NBA is always going to strive for. They like that, you know, on Twitter they're very popular, that, you know, they're seen as a very socially independent and forward-thinking organization. That is all great. But people like money. Owners like to make money. Owners want to sell their franchises for even more than they're currently selling them for. Like, they want to be the NFL. Like, they want to have that. And it's never going to happen, 16 games, 82. Like, that, it's just never going to happen. But they do want to see those TV ratings continue to go up. And that's the thing that, you know, I think in league circles there is some concern about, you know, how is this product going to be viable going forward? And they do already have a television deal going for another couple of years here, and they have a CBA that does the same thing. But, you know, I think in that next batch of negotiations, they're trying to figure out, you know, how do we make our product on television even more interesting? And that's why there's been such a freak out about the ratings thus far this year. And I mean, I think there's easy explanations for it. Steph Curry not being healthy, Kevin Durant not being healthy, Zion Williamson not being healthy, and they've given the Pelicans a bunch of national TV games. Like, there's explanations for why it's been bad thus far, but even if it was going better, it still wouldn't be the NFL. And I do think as a league, they are trying to figure out, how do we get people to care more about games? How do we get more eyes on our television product? Because that is what we can sell. That is the portion that we can sell. It's great that we're popular on Twitter, but how do we go out and get more people to watch our games?
Eric, so the captains will be announced tonight for the All-Star game. We understand, we know Giannis will be there, but will Chris Middleton go for a second straight year, do you believe?
I think so, and I don't know that. So why I believe so is if I was a coach, and again, this is me trying to put my brain into this. If I was a coach and I knew that the team that's the best in the league, that's on pace for 70 wins, has a second guy that, you know, is like a borderline all-star, I would think to myself, hey, that guy only playing 28 minutes tonight. He's sacrificing for the good of the team. He's sacrificing so that this team can be better. I would want my player to aspire to that. I would want my player to give up for the greater good. Like, I would want him, whatever my player is, I'd want him to think, you know what, I'm going to do what's best for my team, and then also get rewarded for it. Like, I think coaches would like to set the precedent that if you're on a 70-win team, your team gets two All-Stars. And again, there's some people that have said they'll get three, and I think that's crazy. But I do think they'll get two All-Stars because coaches value winning, or at least they say they value winning. So if they do, then you have to reward that team for being on this ludicrous pace. And the very clear second All-Star for the Bucks would be Chris Middleton. So in my head, that's what makes sense. But coaches have been illogical before. Players have been illogical before. True. Fans have been illogical before. So all of that could happen once again. But I just think it makes a lot of sense to me that he would be an All-Star and selected by the coaches.
Eric, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the game tomorrow. And we'll be talking next week Thursday, all right?
I look forward to it. See you guys.
Thanks, right, man. Buddy. That's Eric Name joining us. Eric Name. _name, NEHM is where you follow him on Twitter. The Great Midwest Bank Hotline is where he joined us. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. The Pfister Hotel.
Yeah, speaking of 1935, guys, they've been having five-star experiences for more than 125 years. Just walking into the lobby and your jaw will drop. Guys, want to see great Milwaukee views? Will check out Blue, the hotel's cocktail lounge on the 23rd floor. Or maybe relaxing in a spa is more your style. They have an award-winning wellness spa and salon, too. Experience the Midwest Condé Nast Traveler's Reader's Top Choice and experience the wonders of the Pfister at thepfisterhotel.com. But wait, folks, I've got one more. Right next door to the Pfister, the award-winning Mason Street Grill, a fantastic local joint with wood-fired dishes, delicious steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and live music. Literally some of the best steak you will ever have. Whether you want to enjoy the vibrant bar, bustling dining room, or elegant private spaces, experience the best of the area, fresh cuisine, and expert service, and unmatched atmosphere. Reserve your table today at masonstreetgrill.com, too. Fabulous places right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. The Pfister Hotel, Restaurant, Bar, and next door, folks, the Mason Street Grill.
Great Lakes Dragway, Pick a Lane is next. It's the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.